Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva Las Vegas!
And that's right, we are in Las Vegas. Good memories here in Vegas. That's why Allegiant Stadium is going to turn into Arrowhead West yet again on Sunday. A lot of Chiefs fans. We saw some out on Fremont Street the other night. Hope to see a lot of you tonight here at Circa when we have our happy hour taking place from 7 to 9 Vegas time. So maybe you got an afternoon flight. You're going to get in just in time to join us for happy hour. A chance to win free tickets to the game on Sunday as well as transportation to and from the game. So let us know on the text line if you need that RSVP link still, and we'll be sure to send that right over to you. But let's go out to the hotline back in KC. Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor, the editor over on Chiefs on SI. Briscoe, are you a Vegas guy?
I am here in the studio. I'm ready to join the fan club at 1 o'clock. Just me and Drew hanging out. Ready to, where are you guys?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've seen you drunk. I just wanted to see Alex drunk. I'm trying to mix up my party company.
No, that's a good call. I am not historically really a Vegas guy. I haven't been out for an actual just sort of nothing but pleasure trip. A couple of work trips out there. I once did sort of get like half naked in a Las Vegas bathroom at an airport because the time we got there early in the morning, I realized that I had put my underwear on backwards. So I have been half naked in a Las Vegas airport bathroom. That's
That normally happens on the way out of Vegas when you're just like leaving.
I mean, being half naked in an airport bathroom, there's a lot of thoughts. That's not very good. Not good. Not good, Briscoe.
It's kind of Winnie the Poohing it, you know, top on, no bottoms.
Yeah.
That's an interesting approach. I'll say that. By the way, did you see? We have to talk about it later in the show. Alex is sending out thirst traps on our station social media account.
Whoa!
He's out here topless in the pool.
Oh man, listen, I'm not sure that the fine folks of Kansas City are ready for that. The fine folks of Vegas probably are, but I don't know if you can send those kind of transmissions back here.
I was told that they needed my game predictions for social media. I was in the pool, so that's what happened, you know? I think they want engagement, they want to increase our followers. I'm glad to help, you know?
You sure that's increasing?
I think so, actually.
I would like to get some data, please. If we could go ahead, whoever's in charge of your guys' social media, I would like to track the analytics on that one.
The post from last week for predictions and the post next week for predictions.
Yes.
And whether or not this one does better or worse, we'll do it. We were talking in the early part of the show, Briscoe. Does Andy Reid, we already know he's a big game time adjuster. That's been the whole thing. He's willing to change the way he is. I'm not sure anyone's paying attention that this is a running team. They rank 24th in passing percentage this year. They've ranked top 10 in every other year under Patrick Mahomes. Does Andy Reid get enough credit for making this a running team, apparently?
No, I think he is around here a little bit. Nationally, no shot, right? Because that reputation is very well learned back to his Philadelphia days. I mean, Andy Reid has always been kind of pushing the passing game to the point that became kind of a trope, again, back in Philly. So then he, you know, has the entire Kansas City evolution. You get Alex Smith getting this passing game going, and now, of course, the entire Mahomes era has been defined by the guy who I just named the era after being Mahomes. So now, running an offense sort of through Kareem Hunt in 2024 is a legitimately remarkable thing, and they did it out of necessity, right? Again, this offense, we've talked about this a ton all week over the last several weeks. It wasn't a bad plan at wide receiver in this preseason process. They just had terrible, terrible luck. So what do you do in the meantime? Well, when you can't really trust your receivers, you don't have enough who can separate, you figure out if you can use the interior O-line, and then, again, I cannot stress this enough, Kareem Hunt in 2024, that is an amazing evolution for the offense, and it's, of course, bolstered by how good the defense has been. I don't think they get enough credit either, frankly.
DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, we all expect him to play. Andy, you know, saying that, why wait, which I think is exactly right. There is no reason to wait. But do you think it's just kind of a package of plays and kind of just get him acclimated? Or do you think he could end up being one of the leading targets in the game on Sunday?
I think the former should be the plan. I think the latter is on the table. Because he certainly ought to have, you know, a dozen snaps or so where that's the point, is to get DeAndre Hopkins on the field in a Chiefs uniform, give Mahomes some reps with them, some plays where the ball is certainly supposed to go to DeAndre Hopkins where he's your primary read, and then some plays where you can just kind of give him a chance to get a little bit familiar in the offense and have Mahomes get familiar with him. I think that's the baseline. I'd be pretty surprised if he didn't get 10 to 15 snaps, maybe kind of in that range, and a couple of targets. I hope they make a point of that. The funny thing is that with this offense being as thin as it is at wide receiver right now, if DeAndre Hopkins isn't playing more than 10 or 12 snaps, I think Justin Ross is probably playing snaps, and yes. DeAndre Hopkins just showed up to take his number. So at that point, if your concern is like, well, I don't know if this guy knows the offense in its entirety yet, or if we can put him out there and he'll be in the right spots, you don't know that about Justin Ross either. I don't really know that about Nico Remigio. He's also such a different type of receiver. It's a different conversation. I don't think that knowing the offense, Cornell Powell, right back onto the practice squad, is a better player than DeAndre Hopkins, having no idea what the play call even is. So I think we will definitely see a dose of him, and I'll be curious to see if it goes well early on, maybe he just stays in the rotation.
Maybe I'm wrong. I think he's getting a huge amount of the workload because there's no one else to throw to.
Right.
Like Xavier Worthy, Justin Watt, like the Justin Ross part. I don't know if anybody remembers this, and it's probably small. He couldn't get lined up correctly in preseason. He's been on this team for three. He's been on this team for 3 years. Like, yeah. I mean, he was having trouble still getting lined up correctly. I think there's a big reason. Like, we all mock Sky Moore and his lack of production versus number of snaps.
That's right.
But there's a reason why he was on the field 60% of the time, and Justin Ross couldn't be on the roster. And a lot of that was because Sky Moore will do small things. He will block. He will stand correctly where he's supposed to. He might not get, like, catch it or get open, but he will physically go where he's supposed to go.
No, I don't think that's a small thing at all. I think that's the thing for Justin Ross at this point. The preseason process, the memories that stuck out to me were him lining up in the wrong spot and Mecole Hardman needing to line him up, I think, in the final preseason game. Then that cut over to Andy Reid with his mustache waving in the wind, like furious. They had to burn a timeout to get Justin Ross lined up in year three, like you said. And for all the things that he's interesting, you know, the traits of his that could be alluring as a big body receiver, he could not block a soul. And again, with Remigio, he's a small guy. They need to have, I think that's the main reason that Cornell Powell is back, honestly, legitimately. I don't think we're going to see him straight into the roster, but I don't think there's anyone on the squad right now who can just line up and throw a couple of blocks on the outside here and there, which, as you said, I completely agree. That is the one and the small thing that Sky Moore brought to the table.
Do you think that they're spending their extra cap space on anything, or is it just wiggle room for wiggle room's sake?
I think it's wiggle room for the deadline's sake. I don't think we're going to see anything today or tomorrow. I think letting things play out a little bit. You just saw the Rams, who I feel like should have been in this headspace the whole time. I think the Rams just realized that maybe they still can be good and that the whole Cooper Kupp thing was always a little bit silly. But maybe if Cooper Kupp and Puka are looking good, maybe DeMarcus Robinson, who, you know, top five also NFL wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson, maybe he becomes a little more flexible again, or maybe they call the Giants again if they drop a couple more games in the meantime ahead of the deadline. I think that there is room there for a reason. I don't think the Chiefs 100% know where that room is going yet. The other thing with this, as opposed to even like Joe Tooney's restructure from a couple years back, Juwan Taylor was always going to be on this team next year, and this little move doesn't really change any of the math beyond that in a super meaningful way. So I think it's a pretty safe restructure for the future. So if they don't have a guy they like and need to use that money for, then you can just go ahead and roll it over, keep it in your pocket. Maybe it's even to grab somebody. I don't know who's left on the couch at this point, but it's nice to have a little operating budget there.
Our Chiefs contributor Josh Briscoe joining us here on Cody and Gold. All right, what about the game itself, though, Sunday against the Raiders? We all know the Christmas Day game a year ago. There's been comments made since, and Antonio Pierce making the Mahomes rules of football, things like that. Other than Brock Bowers and Max Crosby, I mean, the Raiders just don't have much heading into this thing.
No, you're right. I mean, those are the two guys to watch on either side of the ball and like maybe the only two guys. The one thing that I do feel good about here that I'm just glad to see, and it's that partially thanks to Christmas, and maybe it's a little bit Antonio Pierce, maybe it's a little bit the Kermit puppet that some dope fan brought to training camp and then handed to that poor rookie who did not know what he was getting into.
But well, he didn't have to do the weird voice, man. He opened himself up to that a little.
Oh, no, no. Listen, he didn't do a good job, but it wasn't entirely his fault. Yeah. Regardless, there's a little bit of juice in this game, I think. Like, last week, Chiefs-Niners did not feel like a Super Bowl rematch in any meaningful way, pre or during the game. This does feel a little bit like Raider week. Again, you guys are in Vegas. The last time the Chiefs played in Vegas, the Raiders weren't playing there, and the Chiefs were hosting a Lombardi trophy. And I think there's a little bit of vitriol that's kind of bubbled back up between these two teams. And I don't know if there's a better bad bad vibes rivalry in the sport than Chiefs Raiders. I mean, it's amongst the most historic, and it's certainly amongst the nastiest. I love Max Crosby, and I would have loved Brock Bowers in Kansas City, but I love them as elite players who might actually give the Raiders something to follow in line behind in this game. On the other hand, I think even the injury-depleted Chiefs are miles and miles and miles and miles ahead of this Raiders team. They're a mess. Gardner Minshew's been a mess. That offense, I don't think, is going to do anything against Spags' defense.
Is Antonio Pierce the worst coach in football?
I don't know, man. It's funny because, you know, there was like a little bit of a Max Crosby, like maybe he wants out kind of thing. It was like, well, you hired the head coach here. Like, not quite Aaron Rodgers levels, but it felt like maybe the closest thing. He makes so many weird in-game choices that when that's the thing that I can evaluate even beyond what a locker room is like or whatever, if he's the worst game day coach in football, then it makes you one of the worst across the board. I don't, it seems like the players liked him last year, but interim coaches get that kind of vibes boost all the time. So I certainly wouldn't lay my life on the line to fight for him as anything outside of one of the bottom five right now.
I'll give you credit, by the way. I think a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the poor officiating in Chiefs games, and then last night you see Sam Darnold get his head ripped off in front of a referee, and nobody noticed it. He's like, I didn't see it. You're like, what do you mean you didn't see it? Like, it just is a good reminder, I think, anytime people are mad about the way Chiefs get calls, that the refs are just not that good. It's a hard job, and they're not great at it.
Yep. I've been pounding the table on that for years, and now these last several weeks. Guys, the WNBA final was under the shadow of a refereeing controversy. It is across the board. We can talk about balls and strikes, or fouls or no fouls, or face masks 3 feet away from an official where a quarterback is beheaded. It really is. It's frustrating because obviously this is a cliche that you don't need me to say, but like, no one's there for the refs. The point of the refs is to try to put the rules in ink and then let the refs make sure that those rules are being followed so we can all enjoy the game. Far too often, I think leagues have gotten in front of themselves to say like, well, we're gonna really kind of try to clean this up, or we're gonna just let it all play out, or the human element. But in reality, the only thing we want to do is not notice the refereeing. I think last night's an example where we have all of those quick reviews now, assistants from New York. When those refs huddle, there's no reason one of them couldn't have had an AirPod in that says, hey, we're here in New York, and Sam Darnold just about lost his head. He looked like an owl getting his face mask spun around there. That's a penalty. Let's go ahead and clean this up. The most obvious thing possible. I think we need to redefine some terms with how officiating across sports is done. We have more technology where they could get more help, because we at home on our big HDTVs, we have a better idea of what actually happened than the ref, who is admittedly standing behind the action, or another one who can't see because Sam Darnold's behind a line of, at that point, 10 dudes between him and another ref in front of him. It is a tough job. It moves very fast, but it looks easier from our couches because we have all the technology to benefit it. I wish more people would understand that when the Chiefs get a call, as opposed to somebody tweeting last night, Mahomes would have gotten that call if it was him back there. No, he wouldn't have, because the refs didn't see it. They were making a choice to disrespect Sam Darnold. They didn't think Sam Darnold hadn't earned that call. They didn't see it. And I think all we can do at this point is keep pointing that out and then hope these leagues eventually step in and try to help out the officials, because clearly they need it.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. Stop using logic, Briscoe, when you're trying to explain the situation. Look, if that game was in Minnesota, they just needed to throw some water bottles on the field, wait 7 minutes, and they would have overturned it.
Right. I mean, like, that kind of stuff is happening from college to the pros to football, basketball, men's sports, women's sports. It's always similar issues. I would like to believe that as a society, with our combined brain power, maybe we can improve the state of things. Maybe.
There you go. Josh Briscoe, he joins us each and every Friday here on Cody and Gold. Check out his work over at Chiefs on SI. He's our Chiefs contributor here at 96.5 The Fan. Yeah, the ref stuff, I mean, I'm totally on board with what he's saying. And that's why, whether it's college or NFL, anytime there's a clear blown call, I try to make the Chiefs joke on Twitter, though, just because it's like, can we at least all acknowledge that this is happening in every single game, man?
Of course it is. It's been happening for years. You tend to focus on the ones that are the good teams, and you're like, well, this must be the reason why. I guess this all comes back to like my general issue with the way review works, which is when it could serve the greater good, you don't use it. And when it means nothing, you try and it's meaningless. So it's like you're so bad at using it. Last night, Gold of New York said, yeah, that's a face mask. Who's complaining? Who's complaining? The Vikings? I mean, you did it. It's clearly a face. Like, who's complaining? And look, I think the implied odds based on like just the analytics of it, Gold. The implied odds of the chances they would have to win. Down 8, needing a 2-point conversion with a minute 40 to go without doing it. I think they say it's like 8-9%. Well, it's 0 if he gets sacked. So like I think the Vikings would take the 8 or 9%. Do they probably win that game? Even if they call the face mask. Probably not, man. Probably not.
Yeah, the Vikings were probably not driving all the way down the field.
But I don't care. Yeah. They had zero chance to do it when you don't call the penalty. They got a 10%, a puncher's chance, right, to do it if they do.
I also think
that part's just annoying.
I also think it gets magnified whenever you have a game. We're in Vegas, so it's very fitting when you have the public on a side. What I mean by that is last night it was very clear most of the folks at the sports book and just the public, whether you're betting back in Kansas or in Kansas City or you're here, was on the Vikings, Cody. So when there's a bad call and it's on a team in which the public is the team that the fan base that needed the support, if you will, of not the call being blown, people are going to be even more pissed off because the call benefited the Rams clearly, and that's the side that most of the public was not on. And so then you get people that'll throw out the crazy, stupid conspiracy stuff. Because they lost their bet. That also adds to it. And why we hear about it more and more.
No, I of course. And standalone games, right? Primetime games.
Always.
When they happen in those, even more stuff. Because, like, I'm sure it happens in Panthers, Jags, dude, and we don't know. And don't care. Why would we care, right? Who cares? Who cares if the Panthers, Jags game doesn't get called correctly? But the Chiefs are in every single primetime slot. You see every single missed call. The other problem is, fans are stupid, and social media will spread stuff that isn't true. Like, look at this missed hold. And then there's, like, rules. Like, if you make a rip move, they're allowed to hook you. And, like, things that doesn't really matter and the everyday fan doesn't need to know. But the misinformation on, like, what is or isn't a missed call. I'm like, I'm sorry. We already say their job's hard. You think you know every little nuance for what they're supposed to call? Get the hell out of here. Face mask. At least that's obvious.
You mentioned a brisket. You think I had a? You think I intentionally put something on?
Yeah. You could have posted that anywhere.
I was told.
And you chose a shirtless pool photo.
I was told.
Were nipples showing?
No nipples were being shown.
It
would have been funny if they edited the video and had, like, the giant censored black bar. They did not. No, I much like you, we were both told we needed to record a video so they could get it back up on social, like everybody is from the station each and every week for our game predictions. Just because we're here doesn't mean we don't do game predictions.
Sure.
And so
I did mine inside on the casino floor, you know?
It was after the show. I was in the pool already. So I said, let's record it from here. And our social media coordinator loved it, as a matter of fact.
Loved it.
Loved
it. You say loved
it. Loved it.
Big fan, huh?
Yep. Yep. So yeah. You can check out Instagram and X if you want.
I'm trying to be sure you didn't
There's
expose
no
anything.
Nipples. Nope.
You sure?
It was from like upper chest up. Yeah. Upper chest up. Yep. Sunglasses were on. Stadium swim, 143-foot screen behind me. It's all good.
All right.
You were just next to a slot machine, you know?
That's Vegas.
Yeah.
That's everywhere you go in Vegas, you know?
You notice they put my pick at the very beginning. They wanted to make sure that was visible on the preview.
We're going to get analytics. Next Monday, I'm breaking down how many views and likes we got the previous 2 weeks and the post 2 weeks. And we're doing a full breakdown about whether or not you brought an audience here. You know? Because if you heard our audience, now we know.
Let me check out new followers this morning, see if there's
new
any.
Followers.
Well, and if there was an audience that was brought, then maybe that's the expectation going forward as well from Alex.
Maybe so. You're saying I got to go shirtless.
I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot more liked your reel posts than normal. I'm just saying, you know. Mm. Just
than normal? We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't check the analytics on those every time. We're going to have to go back through. I'm going to have to pull up the numbers. Plain and simple, you know. Oh, on yours or on somebody else?
On the station. On the station.
I mean, do you check that every week?
No.
How many more women? You know, that's the real question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it more women? There are more women on Instagram in general anyway.
It's mixed, you know. I'm just saying, jump on board. I mean, the acting career starts going here. We got the Hallmark movie coming up at the end of November.
That's like a month away,
man. Just going to take off. Yeah, about a month away from the Hallmark debut, you know.
Can't wait to see
it. I am clothed in that. There's no nudity scene or anything, I can promise
you. Would you have done nudity if they had asked you to?
Probably not.
Would you have done simulated sex scene if needed?
As an extra? That'd be a weird scene. That'd be a weird scene if I'm in the background pretending to have sex.
You know, but like if your next gig is like they remake, what was the name of that like weird orgy movie with Tom Cruise? Damn it. What was the name of that movie?
What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Nicole Kidman.
If you have to do your next acting gig is an extra in that. Are you willing what it takes to be an extra in that movie?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah.
I like that you're willing, you know? It's creative, mm-hmm. you know? Creative
says
stuff.
The Swifties are horrified. Hey, we got the Swifties on board. Swifties are on board. Did you see that? Thinking of that real quick. In New Orleans, you see New Orleans Saints fans are all pissed off because so Taylor Swift's having a concert there. And on the, it's really cool, actually, I think. But on the Mercedes-Benz Superdome or whatever it's called. Or Caesars, sorry. Caesars, I think, is the name.
Caesars
of
it. Now. Used to be Mercedes-Benz.
They wrapped a friendship bracelet around the whole building. It looks yeah. really cool, but their fans are all upset because it.
They're saying they're predicting the Chiefs?
Yeah.
What? She's a separate person. She cheers for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. She's a separate person. She's her own person.
Totally. I'm just saying, I saw that controversy that actually is going on. All right, let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
All right, pretty simple with this one. It has to do with a Guinness World Record. This one's just bizarre. I don't know if you could do this. A woman from Bangladesh used chopsticks to lift one grain of rice at a time. She managed to eat a record-breaking 37 small pieces of rice in 1 minute. Now, I can't use chopsticks.
I can use chopsticks, but not that well.
8 East is the Asian restaurant here on the property at Circa. Went there.
Again? You got the brisket fried rice again?
That was not my doing. I went there 2 nights ago. Last night, my friend said, hey, let's do the Asian place again. Like, well, yeah, okay. So we went back.
But you could have gotten a new dish.
I could have, but I didn't. So I did not eat my fried rice with... You know, chopsticks, one grain at a time. How quickly could you... 37 small grains of rice in 1 minute. How many grains of rice could you...
In a minute? One, two. I eat them in like... It's hard. Individual piece of rice is a hard thing to pick up with a chopstick.
37 is...
37 is crazy.
I mean,
that's one every half second. I mean, that's just flying.
That's insane. I think you could do more than one or two, though. I think you could, I'll give you like five.
I can use chopsticks. I don't need, like, the kid
the
cheater
cheaters?
Things, right?
Those are the best, man.
I don't need those. I can just...
Be an adult using the cheaters. With the...
I mean, it's not, like...
It definitely works. Definitely works.
I like using them with, like, sushi and stuff. I find it, like, the dipping method and all that, I find that to be a... I like using chopstick for sushi, but for rice, forks are pretty good method,
it takes
you know?
Too long to eat. Like, I want to eat my food. I guess you don't eat as much that way. Your body has more time to adjust.
They also
to being
like
full.
Shovel it more than like you think with chopsticks.
Yeah.
Like they're not usually eating one piece.
I know. They're
they
scooping it almost.
It's like yeah, it's working like a spoon in a lot of cases. So you're still eating
I
it.
I feel
at
like you just
time.
Eat less. Because you'd fill up quicker because it takes longer to eat.
Maybe. Smart.
Versus the spoon that I'll tell you, the spoon that I had with the fried rice, this sucker was big. It was like, I mean, I was getting huge spoonfuls every single time.
Why didn't you order something different?
Because I know it's good and I like it. We've had this long standing.
I don't understand. You eat the same thing every day?
If I'm at a restaurant and I know it might be the best dish in the menu according to everybody that works there, why would I not keep eating said dish?
I guess because it's like 2 days apart. A year apart?
Cool. Well, I was not planning on going there back-to-back nights. That was not my doing. I was with some friends. They wanted to go there. What am I going to say? No?
I'm going to try to hit up that place today. I don't know what I'm going to get, but it's not going to be brisket fried rice. I've already had that.
Chicken yakitori, very good.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Ramen, I heard, ramen was really, really good.
Okay.
That's the trash of the day.
Let me suggest the ravioli, the short rib ravioli down at Barry's. Quite good. Quite
See, I'm
good.
Sorry. At a steakhouse, I'm not getting ravioli. Sorry.
It's an appetite.
I know, yeah, but I just, I'm not getting ravioli at a steakhouse. So.
What do you mean? Why?
Because it's a steakhouse. Steak.
They can't serve ravioli?
I don't want to eat ravioli.
What, am I supposed to get an appetizer, a steak?
From the guy
steak
that,
appetizer, from the, steak dinner?
From the guy that criticized me for having spaghetti and meatballs
that
at
was
an Italian
what it was.
Restaurant.
I was trying to think of it.
You're having ravioli at a steakhouse.
That's
that
way
seems
worse.
Like a not weird thing to have at
oh,
a steakhouse.
I
think it's worse than gold getting a
It's
the
short
spaghetti.
Rib. That's beef.
No, short rib is. I'm just saying. You said ravioli.
It's short rib ravioli.
But it's ravioli. That's an Italian dish.
There's just no way that is an offensive thing to order at a steak.
I'm not saying the every course of the meal has to have steak involved. I'm just saying if you think it's weird to have spaghetti and meatballs at an Italian restaurant, having Italian food at a steakhouse is weird.
It's not about the food choice. It was
anyway,
about the other options.
Anyway, you know, it's time for a drink, I think. You know, we've reached that portion of the show.
Already?
I think it is. All right. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. I want to talk more about how Patrick Mahomes approached the Raiders game a year ago and how they're approaching it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
On Sunday.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Back here in Las Vegas, Cody and Gold hanging out till 2 o'clock today, and then hope to see you guys tonight here in Vegas at Circa for our happy hour event. Going to be a great turnout of Chiefs fans taking over the city of Las Vegas. Also going to be a busy night in sports. So we got game one of the World Series tonight. You can bet on that if you're coming out here. Yankees, Dodgers out in L.A. And I was seeing that in L.A., look, traffic's always bad. But did you see they have like six major events going on in L.A. tonight? And they're just saying that it's going to be just a complete mess. So you have World Series game one. You have the Suns at the Lakers at the same time. Rutgers at USC. Then we know high school football is huge out there. You got like Bosco High in Matter Day, which is like a huge historical rivalry. And then there's a concert at the Intuit Dome, which is the new Clippers facility. All that is going on at one time. So traffic is
just
bad
don't
enough.
Leave.
And they're all, you know, within like a pretty decent – they're all pretty close to each other, relatively speaking. So I guess traffic in L.A. is just going to be insane. A lot of sporting events going on tonight.
Well, we're going to put a little money on the –
World Series. I'm gonna dude.
Yankees Dodgers game tonight. What are you thinking?
World Series. Boise State's playing here in Vegas tonight. The Golden Knights game we're going to this afternoon is going on. So yeah, I think we got a couple.
You put some on the Golden Knights too.
We're going to the game. I'm going to.
I don't always put it on the game.
If we're at the game,
I'm at the. I get the entertainment by.
It adds to it. You're at the game
by just being there. You know?
Yeah, but put some on the first period. You know, an over 1.5 goal or something like that.
Okay.
Knights and Ottawa Senators.
Look, I can be talked to.
Ask the boss what we need to bet. Ask Speck. He's the hockey guy.
Yeah, that's true. I don't feel comfortable betting hockey. I know nothing about it as far as a betting perspective.
All right, back to football here in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. I only bring up this injury report for a non-Chiefs team because it's a name that at one point has been brought up for trade stuff. The Panthers have ruled out wide receiver Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen. We've seen this a lot with guys that get traded too. That's why I bring it up because you know they're kind of hurt, but we know we might be trading them. So we're gonna,
well, and I think everyone's trying to speculate how the Chiefs are going to spend the money. If you missed the news last night, the Chiefs restructured Jawan Taylor's cash. They freed up several million dollars to give themselves some space, and the question is why? You had enough to pay DeAndre Hopkins. It was close, but you had enough to pay him. Maybe you need an extra million or two in case someone gets hurt and you got to elevate someone off the practice squad,
sure.
Whatever. But you could have waited to do that, and instead they wanted cash on hand to possibly make that deal. I mean, I don't think it's the worst idea to make another buy. These little moves have made a difference. You know, like Mecole Hardman. Again, not a superstar deal. Not like he was the world's best wide receiver on this team. But like, he had a game when he catched in a Super Bowl. He had a big punt return. He's had big plays for this team. It has been a valued addition. Those margin wins have sometimes been the difference. Every single Chiefs playoff game, isn't it like 20-19 with the Chiefs getting the final score at the last minute?
Yeah,
you can't tell me that the margins are not important when every damn last single win they make in the postseason comes down to what feels like the final play, right? That's where I feel like they should spend this money. Spend it. Who are you saving it for? Next year? Next year you won't be going for a three-peat. You had to be going for trying to get back to the Super Bowl. You'll be going for a four-peat.
I think they'll be trying to make one more move. Yeah, and I don't know if it'll be Deontay Johnson or Adam Thielen or a corner or whatever. I brought up the Panthers just because those are two names we've brought up in trade discussions, and they're
being protective
both
of them
not
now.
Playing. Not that they're not hurt, but being protective. Also, Andy Dalton's not going to play, so just real quick, the Panthers are going to have Bryce Young back. Congratulations, Bryce. We benched you. Now you're back against the Broncos. Oh, and you're throwing to Jonathan Mingo and Xavier Leggett. Or not Xavier Leggett. Yeah, Xavier Legette. Good luck with that. Enjoy.
I mean, I don't think it's going to go great. I kind of feel bad. Although I do like Legette's accent still. I don't know if that changes his ability.
It's just a deep South accent.
It's like Foghorn Leghorn, man. It's like it's almost comedy. Like, it is so thick. It is almost hard to imagine that that's not the case. Look, we're getting ready to see them in the Raiders again, and there was a thing that stood out to me on Tuesday that I still want to talk about a little bit more, which is this year, I do actually think, while in the end, the regular season wins or losses are not going to be the difference on this, but you saw the health and the difference it made. You got to put more of a priority, if you're the Chiefs, on the regular season games than you did last year. Patrick Mahomes, earlier this week, admitted to sleepwalking on the Christmas Day game against Vegas. They walked in just expecting to win. So if you're like, no, they're too good. They got too much on the line. They bring their best effort all the time. He said they walked into that game unprepared, not ready, like a joke almost, right? Like, we just figured we were going to win that one because they stink. And they didn't. They were, because no NFL team stinks so bad that if you don't take them seriously at all, you have no chance to beat them. And so I think they got to treat the regular season with a little more urgency than they have in some previous years. Nothing crazy, but I think the one seed is vital for a team with as many games under their damn belt as they have the last few years.
I think this game, if you're talking specifically about the level of focus, zero concern.
Yeah,
on Sunday against the Raiders. We know what happened on Christmas Day. We know the Chiefs are still undefeated. They get a boost this week with D-Hop in the building. He's going to play on Sunday. There is zero concern I have with a sleepwalking type of performance or anything like that. Now, you want to tell me that in a couple weeks when they play the Panthers, there's a concern there? Maybe, but if this team is still undefeated, I think they will be going into that game even, then I don't think you sleepwalk when you know you are perfect on the season.
Because it'd be easy to sleepwalk against the Panthers, walk into a door and say, well, we're beating that team.
I just don't think there's such a thing as sleepwalking in a three-peat season. Now, last year, back-to-back campaigns historical too, but I think everybody recognizes that. They all acknowledge they didn't have fun in the regular season last year. Because of those comments, the fact that you're able to acknowledge it, and they have openly, publicly, I actually think is a good thing to do if you're trying to prevent it from happening again. If you're in denial, if you're not admitting it, if you recognize the problem, right, it's a lot easier to solve. So I think that applies even to football here when we're talking about the issue of being complacent or things like that. No, I don't think that's a worry, and definitely not for this Sunday. I know the game against the Raiders last time was at Arrowhead, but this Sunday it's going to be 70-30, I think, Chiefs fans to Raiders fans in that building. I know it was just one fan, but last night we were up in the sports book and a guy was wearing a Bo Jackson jersey. And
a Raiders Bo Jackson jersey?
A Raiders Bo Jackson jersey. We're like, oh, hey, you going to the game? He's like, nah, too many Chiefs fans. I mean, there's a Raiders fan that's like, I'm not going to my own team I root for's game because I know Chiefs fans are taking over the building.
When you look at this, there's no way, in my opinion, they lose this game unless they sleepwalk in it. They are so much more talented than the Raiders, then there's no way on Monday you're not going to convince me that they did not come in prepared. Because, look, it's okay to lose a game. It's okay to get beat. Teams get beat. The Chiefs can get beat this year. They've almost been beat several times, right? Cincinnati almost got them. The Ravens game was close. I mean, hell, they almost got beat by a toe, right? In the first game of the regular season, they can get beat, and I don't think they slept well through. Not against the Raiders. That team's a joke. They have changed quarterbacks 8 times in 6 weeks. They have no running back. They have no offensive line. They have 2 good players. They stink. So just as long as you come prepared like this is a team that you take seriously and not walk in being like, I can't take this team seriously, I think that it's easier. I also, this is so small probably, but I also think it's easier to sleepwalk when you're at home. Like when you got to travel, Gold, you got to get there. You gotta be there. You gotta be in Vegas. You're away from some of your like home comforts, right? You're not at home on Friday night cooking dinner with the family, being like, "Bah, it's the Raiders. Who cares?" Like Christmas, right? You're like getting all your kids' presents ready. You're like, "Who cares? It's the Raiders. I'm not worried about facing them on Sunday." I think it's easier to like settle into this. What would it say to you if they did lose? What does it say to you about the Chiefs? Nothing. You're just like, "Oh, they sleepwalk," because this would be one of like. Very few teams that they could lose to this year that I'd be like, what the hell happened here? The Raiders are one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be the same scenario. It would say that they were not prepared, that they went through the motions, all the things that I just don't think are possible in this game. But it would be that. There was something fluky that happened. They gave up a punt return for a touchdown. They muffed a punt that allowed the Raiders to return it, and they jumped out to a 14-0 lead, and we're like, what the hell is going on? Like, that's it. Crazy stuff, honestly. Because some of that is what happened on Christmas Day. You know, there was it the Mahomes fumble or interception that led to the return for a touchdown. They were going through the motions. I think they had a muff punt, if I'm not mistaken, in that game on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So it would take the same type of thing, man. But this Raiders team, last year when they played them on Christmas Day, they were still riding the interim head coach wave of emotion.
Oh, man. People love riding that high.
This is their head coach now. He's also coming off the game, which he's been heavily criticized because he has not been able to figure out when to kick, when to go for it, when not to go for it. He's out here kicking field goals late in games with 3 minutes to go when he should be going for it. You know, he's down. Yeah, like Antonio Pierce hasn't been able to figure out what he wants to do. I think players in the locker room start to notice that now that he's been a head coach that, hey, our head coach, like you think guys in the locker room don't notice when their head coach is indecisive? Hell yeah, they do.
Because it means they're not confident in it. I was thinking more about, you mentioned the Panthers injuries. Is there any chance, like, it's so early in year two,
mm-hmm.
and you and I have both said that there have been a crazy amount of injuries this year. Like, way more, I feel like, than normal. And I understand these conversations happen. I don't remember personally saying that. But my God, dude, every star player is out. I just saw the Panthers injury report for this weekend as you were talking about Deontay Johnson. Someone said it looks like War and Peace. Look how many outs and questionables and dear God, man. Is there any chance that this increase of injury stuff is going to come with the increased one game? Like, just one game built up over, like, I'm not even just saying for this season.
Yeah.
But built up over time. Careers are shorter.
Yes.
People are more hurt in season because every extra game they pile on their bodies means 4 years down the road, even less of these guys are available. It's a real downside we're not talking about in the NFL. And they want to add another game. This isn't the end here, man. This isn't the end of the road. They want to put on an 18th game. Hell, they'd probably love to go to 20 in 15 years. But, I mean, there's a limit French football a human body can take.
No, I think that's very true. I think we are seeing that already. Absolutely. And as far as the number of games in long term, yeah, I think the question always will be, what limit of games do you really water down the product due to injury and otherwise? Some think it's already there.
I think
20 is the absolute most you could ever play. And even then, I mean, we're going to have a former Chiefs player, Mark McMillan, join us in about a half hour. I mean, he can speak to it, obviously, way better than I can. I just can't imagine playing 20 regular season football games. You think about the wear and tear on their bodies. Yes, they would eliminate preseason.
That's
in this
what Chiefs
scenario.
Did last year without a
And they're doing
season.
It during the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, that's why this run is so impressive right now for Kansas City, on top of just the obvious, is that, like, they have had injuries. They've overcame them. Yeah. They've also been pretty healthy during these runs. This year, they're dealing with more injuries than normal. To this point, they've been able to mask them enough. Your hope is that you get guys healthy later on. But, yeah, I mean, as far as the Panthers, too, I think it's also a little bit easier if you have an injury. If you're a player and you're on a crappy football
team, like,
you're not
leg
fighting.
Hurts.
You're not fighting through it as much. There's no way you are. No. There's no way, right?
You're not putting
your body on the line as much on a team that's 1-5 or
like,
whatever they are.
Their exact injury report: Andy Dalton doubtful, Deontay Johnson out, Jamie Robinson out, Nick Scott out, Adam Thielen out, Jonathan Brooks doubtful, Chehalis, Fuller, Jackson, Jewell, Moten, Robinson, Wanham, Clowney, doesn't matter, all questionable. It's got 15 dudes on the list, and they're already the worst team.
And
in football.
Look, they'll get rid of preseason. They'll add, or down to one game. They'll add an extra bye week.
Yeah, but the preseason's
like
not putting the wear and tear on the starters.
The extra bye week helps, but it's still nothing like playing.
That almost sounds like Missouri's injury report going into this game against Alabama.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. It's just, you know how it works sometimes. It's just the style of play. I just don't understand like how it can possibly continue to that level, though.
Do you look at Sunday? You're going to hear more and more about it. Are you going to end up talking yourself into betting a bunch of tight end props here at Circa? Sunday is National Tight Ends Day.
Well, I mean,
is this a Noah Gray, Travis Kelce,
Jody Fortson,
Brock Bowers day?
What's the Kelce line?
Your line for receiving yards?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is here at Circa. I don't have that right in front of me. I think at some spots for the folks back in Kansas City that are looking.
Wait, is this like a football thing, or is this just a national?
Oh, they've been doing this for National Titans Day. George Kittle started it a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
They'll mention it during Red Zone quite a bit. Scott Hansen will bring it up multiple times on Sunday. Let's see. Receiving yards. Here we go. Receiving props for Travis Kelce. Over under 54.5.
Okay.
For the Raiders, why did they not give me any? I have no Raiders receiving props. Weird. Okay. I don't know why.
The whole thing regarding the tight ends day, I was just curious because Cody said this just a few minutes ago.
It is so thick.
I just wasn't sure.
Oh, gosh.
Why?
What were you talking about? What is so thick?
Xavier Leggett's accent is what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody was like, can you please cut that?
I don't remember.
That's a good drop to have in the system.
Yeah, very good. Look, here's the difference.
You can couple that with our conversation about the airplanes the other day, and then it's going to be really
cool. There you go. The Chiefs are still the worst team in the NFL in allowing receiving yardage to opposing tight ends. Honest to God, the Raiders rate pretty good in that department. So maybe because they're terrible in literally every other facet of the game. I don't want to say for sure, but that might have something to do with it. They actually are top 10 in tight end receiving yardage allowed gold. So I actually right around there. Tied for 20th in receiving yards allowed per game. Less than 40 yards per game allowed to opposing tight ends. So, I don't know. I probably won't bet Travis Kelce props, I guess, this week. Mostly because I want to see what they do with DeAndre Hopkins before I start making decisions on that. Brock Bowers, I mean, you'd be making a lot of money betting overs on receiving yardage by tight ends.
Oh, he's the real deal. We knew that coming out of college. I mean, Brock Bowers is the real deal. No matter how bad a quarterback play is, when you're that kind of player, especially at a tight end position, you're gonna put up some numbers in the NFL, and that's exactly what Brock Bowers has been able to do to this point in time. So yeah, I mean, I said it last week. I'm just so not worried about what tight ends do against the Chiefs. It just doesn't matter. Let them go get 90 yards as long as they don't beat you in the red zone. George Kittle had 90 something yards, didn't beat you in the red zone. It just does not matter. So Brock Bowers, go get your 85 yards and a loss. I don't care.
That seems fair. I was thinking more about a player that we were critical of the first couple of weeks because I thought they started off slow. Nick Bolton has been great lately. I'm assuming everyone's noticed. Nick Bolton has been playing some incredible football as of late. Any chance you think the Chiefs regret not extending him? Because they're if they want him around, they're going to have to pay the price. He's a valuable member of their defense. Or is that just the kind of player you let go at the end of the year?
Well, yeah. You know, I somehow have become more of a Nick Bolton defender. I don't know why. I think at times it's been unfair criticism. I'll go back to
He's been really good.
The day he was drafted, people were critical of the
second-round linebackers,
So I think Nick Bolton's a hell of a football player. I think they trust him to operate this defense, the green dot. That is a crucial spot. He has been playing better than he was week one. I think that is clear, yes. Do they regret not extending him? No, because, I mean, there is still a positional value thing. In the offseason, if they really want to get it done, they could still get it done. I don't believe they will, given the position and what they have there. But, no, I don't think like they regret it. I think they're well aware what the potential consequences were, both sides, of not getting a deal done. Nick Bolton doesn't have the job security, financial security, I should say. And for the Chiefs, there's the risk. But I also don't think Nick Bolton has earned himself more money, though, either. You know?
You think he just is who
he is? I just hope for his sake he stays healthy all year and that he has an opportunity to go get paid, whether it's in Kansas City or elsewhere in the offseason.
Where does he rank amongst the most important defensive players on this team? Behind Chris Jones?
Yeah, for sure.
Behind Trent McDuffie? Is he behind Justin Reed?
He's definitely top four. He's definitely top four or so with this defense, though. I mean, we're wearing the green dot, and Spags has been very, very complimentary of his ability to orchestrate this thing. And, you know, when we had Spags on in February, that's why I thought there was still a chance an extension got done back in the offseason, is because he was willing to praise him so much openly about why they were able to have the success they had in that game against the Niners in the Super Bowl. And he's like, the intelligence level of Nick Bolton and some of these guys. I mean, it's a really smart defense. I mean, Justin Reed obviously wouldn't play at Stanford, right, or whatever. Like, so he's just a very smart individual to begin with. But Nick Bolton's a really smart football player.
No, he is.
And he went to Missouri, Cody.
Wow, is that a knock on the Missouri education system?
No, I'm just kidding.
I went to UMKC.
I know, you're a Missouri fan.
Where do they rank colleges based on how good of a school they are? Is there like a national ranking of
for like academics?
Quality of education?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
What's the ranking difference between Kansas and Missouri?
I don't have it memorized. but yeah, of course there are. There's different publications. There's not just one that's out there. Yeah. I can promise you Stanford is higher than Missouri or Kansas on the list.
Well, yeah, I was just looking at it.
What do you want? What are you trying to
I want to know the difference between Missouri and Kansas.
Kansas is ranked 152nd in national universities. Let's see about Missouri.
Based off of what?
I think that this is just the U.S. News and World Report, I guess, is what it is. Missouri's 109th, so 43 spots above Kansas.
Just mocked their education. 60 spots lower, man. Embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
Embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
We all should have gone to Emory College. They're probably like top 25, you know? Should have gone to a real school.
Kansas State is 165th.
No, very close. But wasn't that the whole thing about, like, what's the academics thing with, like, Big Ten and all the KU?
AAU accredited or whatever.
AAU accredited.
Research universities and things like that.
Is Missouri accredited in that one?
They're in the SEC. I don't know. Not sure.
Who cares?
This might stun you. I haven't really
caught up on the AAU accreditation.
In depth about Missouri's education and their educational system.
In fairness, guys,
I know is when it comes to K through 12, they spend the least amount of money, some of the worst in the country. Bottom 5, bottom 10 in spending.
UNKC is inside the top
public
250.
Education. Teacher salaries.
No one's here to. Public education in Missouri is a crime.
Anyway.
UNKC is 244.
Okay.
Cody, you hear that?
244? Underrated. Underrated. You know what, though? The difference is Alex and I do the same job. Our education got us the same place. You know?
Yours was cheaper than mine, too.
Yeah, so I assume so. I also went to – where's my community college rank? I went there for 2 years before I went to UNC.
Do they rank? I don't know if that would be on the U.S.
Nationally amongst community colleges, you know?
Up next, we get to what's trending, and we'll have Mark McMillan, Mighty Mouse, former Chiefs defensive back. He now does some work here in Las Vegas with the Raiders. He's going to join us, give it his perspective on the Chiefs season next.